South Carolina's got everything. Natural beauty, trendy cities, but you might miss your next big adventure in a smaller town. We've got you covered on the Palmetto Porch, Discover South Carolina's official podcast. I'm Devin Whitmire. Come with me as I venture off the beaten path and learn about these towns from the locals who know them best. Check out the Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information, head on over to scpalmettoporch.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hello and welcome to this breaking news edition of What Most People Think. And it's a breaking news week because my God, I mean, Donald's back and the news keeps coming. But also, I want this to be a UK-focused podcast. So there's also things that happen domestically that I want to catch up on. But I won't lie, it's also a big day for me today because the Times radio show Friday night with Norcott starts tonight, 7 till 10 p.m. on Times Radio. And I just want to tell you, rather than just keep promoing it, let me tell you a funny story in the hope that this will help remind you to watch it tonight. So I did an interview with The Times with Dominic Maxwell, who's the lead sort of comedy critic for The Times. And he's quite rare in the world of comedy, is that he likes comedy. I know that might sort of sound like that surprising, but believe me, in the world of comedy reviewing, quite a few of them aren't that fond of comedy, or certainly not comedy that's broadly liked. So it's good to sit and chat with him, and the piece went up in the Times, and you know, I was very happy with it and stuff. But obviously the Times, they've got the people that write the headlines, they're these smart people that they just know what in this interview can we take and make a headline and just get people looking at it, which is ultimately the aim of the game. And so in the interview, I was talking about, you know, the whole basic bloke principle and the idea being that, you know, in a world of comedy where, you know, and I've said this on the podcast many times, where it does overrepresent the margins. So whether that be non-binary, on the spectrum, vegans, that does sound like a sketch troupe from Edinburgh. But it's not value judgment. It's a matter of fact. I remember looking at a Mock the Week episode a few years back, and there's a panel of seven people, and I knew for a fact that five of them were vegans. And that's, you know, I think it's about 2% in society. So for whatever reason, you know, maybe comedy's about the outsider viewpoint, it does overrepresent the margins. So what I said in the interview was, you know, in that context, being a 5'9" guy that likes football, Star Wars and curry starts to seem like a radical act. And then the Smart Times headline writers sort of distilled that down into saying, I like football and curry. In comedy, that's radical. So it didn't really get any traction on many of the websites, you know, for that reason. But then on Blue Sky, oh my God, Blue Sky. So you know, Blue Sky is where all the sort of mostly centre-lefty, lefty type people went from Twitter. A few of them have picked up on it, and I was getting a bit of abuse. You know, there's some of the usual stuff, which is according to me, things that I've never said, like that I'm complaining about being cancelled again. I mean, that would just be ludicrous, right? I've been quite fortunate. And I love the Tories. Your mates, the Tories, they always call to say that. And or they just presume that I'm a reform guy. or that I think I'm edgy, even though the interview is all about the fact that I'm saying I'm not edgy at all. But anyway, but there was some good insults in there. I will say this about Blue Sky. The insults were good. Not all of them. Some of them are just people calling me a tosser. But one bloke said he's Bill Hicks for people that like Magic FM, which I just thought, I felt so honoured by that. Like, you've taken the time, like, whatever I make you feel, you've taken the time to insult me properly. And for that, I'm very grateful, sir. So, coming up in this, it's going to be a kind of rattle through a bunch of subjects, really. I mean, we've got developments in the Starmer voice coach story. There's this oil field thing, which I could think could become an issue for Labour in their plans for growth. Reform, top to poll for the first time. The SNP have had some weird thing going on with cats, which I'll unpack for you later. And they would just do a little bit on Trump's tariffs. But let's welcome some new patrons. The patron community is growing and growing, and it's very helpful in terms of making space and time for doing extra shows such as these. We got Daniel Connolly. Daniel, would that be Daniel Connolly? You just sound like a championship footballer. You know, one of those guys, you don't really get them these days, because if they're good in the championship, they will get signed by a premiership club. But you remember, like, for years, Steve Ball was like a legend of the lower leagues. Daniel Connolly, absolute fucking demon from 3 yards. Michael Wake, are you woke, Michael? That would be hilarious if you were woke. Wokey wakey, anti-woke wakey. Or when you die, obviously, people are going to go to your wake. Did you go wake's wake? sorry, I was there to be hit. Pokemark17, I'm going to guess that is your very first email address, and you've just stuck with it. Pokemark17. I mean, that also does sound like some potentially something to do with BDSM. Barry Jones. That is, I mean, if I was going to name a black cab driver in a novel, Barry Jones would be the name. Alex Logie. Barry Jones would be the black cab driver that doesn't use sat nav. You know, like in Star Wars, when Luke Skywalker turns off his targeting computer. Look, you turned off your targeting computer. What's wrong? Nothing. Barry Jones. I know these roads. Alex Logie. And now, if you were my mate, Alex, I would be singing to you on every stag do. There's a bear that we all know. Logie, 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 Logie Bear. And it would get really loud and almost a little bit menacing.
What most people think.
As ever on What Most People Think, we're going to do a thank you and a fuck you. I just want to say thank you to the stag do's of my youth, because there is a story around today that just stag do's and hen do's, boozy stag do's and hen do's are going out of fashion. And I get it, you know, drinking Gen Z's. And I'm not going to criticise them for this, because they've just got less money. And maybe, they hear our stories of shame and debauchery and go, I don't want to do that. We go, oh, yeah, we went on a stag do. It was brilliant. We went to Vegas for a month. We all had to remortgage. Several of the lads had to get divorced because they got strippers pregnant. And we're like, but why wouldn't you want to do that? Having said that, this generation already struggle for anecdotes, I would say. You know, as I said on one of my last tours, no good story ever started in a juice bar, right? Same as with these footballers. You know, I in fact, ironically, I used to do a bit about Marcus Rashford having the most boring most boring autobiography. What was it? What's the joke? Chapter 4, the time me and Aaron Trippier had to get some women back to our hotel room to balance out the diversity in book club, right? Well, I mean, interestingly, I don't know if you've seen Marcus Rashford. He signed for Aston Villa, and there are rumours about his lifestyle. The image of him, somebody did a photo of him, and he just looks like me after a middle-aged sort of day rave. And you do not want to be looking like that in your mid-30s, Marcus. So, I don't know, if I do have young listeners. By the way, if there are any listeners under 30, get in touch. Maybe email is very old-fashioned to you, whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com. It would be good to hear from, and now it sounds like I'm fucking Hugh Edwards in it. It would be good to hear from the younger guys. The fuck you. So last night there was a special report on ITN News, right? And it's about these allegations at Gino DeCampo against him about. So what it seems like is there's nothing particularly physical, but he said and done things and acted in a way that's made people feel uncomfortable and stuff. So there's immediately the debate of, oh, these, you know, it's the workplace, it's flirting, and then there's the other side of it of going, actually, no, he made people feel uncomfortable and he abused his power. I'm not here to make a judgment on that, because these are allegations at this point. I will say this, it wouldn't surprise me if you work in and around television. I mean, what's so funny about, not funny, but like, when people used to, when these things used to come out, people go, oh, it was a different time. It was a different time. Some of these allegations from 2018, I promise you, in television, if somebody does ratings, they have different rules. It's just a fact. And it's not a good bit of our industry. But anyway, look, they're allegations. So let's see what happens. The fuck you is the fact that the first 11 minutes of the ITN news last night were given to going after Gino De Campo. First 11 minutes of in a world where Trump is, you know, pulling sort of aid and there's stuff about Gaza and there's, you know, growth was downgraded in the UK. Interest rates were cut. There was so much news. And then they're like, no, and now a special report of 11 minutes. I swear to God, it was 11 minutes. Was it the very first 11 minutes? I don't know. I just think editorially, that is an incredible shout in a globally febrile world to go, yeah, guys, are we all agreed? Somebody's just looking around like the news thing. We all agreed, guys, what we should lead on. Yeah, we all agreed. And they're all thinking, yeah, 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 Trump. And yeah, 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 interest rates. And he goes, Gino De Campo. Well, all right. Yeah. What, Gene, what, the Family Fortunes guy? By the way, sidebar here. I still think Family Fortunes should be hosted by Vernon Kay. But, you know, Vernon Kay, you know, I mean, not that he did, but he was a naughty boy as well, wasn't he? Yeah. I try to be positive about men, but when they get very famous, stuff happens. All right, let's get into the newsy stuff this week. We're going to talk first about these swirling allegations about whether or not Starmer broke lockdown rules with his voice coach, which he definitely needed. And didn't really help. So the first thing to say is I don't think there's any real chance of Starmer getting a fine or anything or being seen to have broke, like specifically broke the rules of having a lockdown coach. So he was asked about it in the Commons. And he obviously had he obviously knew what his response was going to be. Was it Christmas Eve? I was preparing a response to the Brexit deal that would I needed to talk to the public. All right, first up, yeah, I get it, Keir. Just back in 2021, not that big a deal. Your response to the Brexit deal really wasn't that big a deal. But I get it. You've got the cover of a political objective. I don't doubt that you were probably working with this woman, but. But right, you're not going to be able to be fully held to account for this. But even if you're a big Starmer fan, you've got to say, do you physically need a voice coach present at a time when London went back into tier four lockdown? Especially when that speech was only going to be over Zoom, right? So you could argue that it made more sense for the voice coach to actually see it and hear it over Zoom rather than be in person, because that is how it wasn't going to have a live audience. That was how pretty much everybody was going to hear it. So it's sort of like thin cover and it, you know, and when you think of the things that we all did over Zoom, do you know what I mean? Speed awareness courses. I watched my son doing Ninja Club, you know, with just two other kids on Zoom. It's all very surreal. So I think that a lot of people, if they come into contact with this story at all, would say that, well, you could have probably done that via remote, mate. But it's just weird. It's weird, isn't it, with lockdown? It's weird. It's kind of a bit like Brexit, where it's this huge thing, and then everyone's a bit embarrassed about how passionate they got about it, and no one really wants to talk about it, do they? It's just like something, COVID and the lockdowns, it's just like something where it was like, you know, if you have like a big family party and then it all ends in a fight at the end and everyone gets up in the morning and just tries to gloss over it. There's definitely a sort of selective amnesia about how mental people went over lockdown restrictions and stuff. And the problem with Starmer is I wouldn't give a shit about this, to be honest, but he was so judgmental about Partygate, and he was always one of the people that was, what was it, lockdowns? Harder, faster. We want more lockdowns, sooner. Give it to me, lock me down. And that's the problem with Starmer generally, is he rode in on such a high horse. So the things that he's accused of aren't the worst things, but they are when you look at the height of his horse. It's like the clothes and the glasses. Like, it's not the worst kind of like freebie scandal we've ever heard. It's not up there. It's not up there with questions, cash for questions. But your horse was so tall, Keir. And then to see you getting dressed by like some sort of Barbie Ken by Lord Arley, it's... So, yeah, I think this one will blow over and go away. But it just does add to a general growing sense that Keir Starmer has quite a lot of hypocritical blind spots.
What most people think.
Now, we're going to talk about the Rosebank oil field. Because at PMQs, right, Kemi Badenoch brought this up. Now, she sort of acted like it was Keir Starmer's decision to cancel the licence for this oil field. That's not strictly true. It was the judges that rescinded an original Tory government decision. But I think that the Tories know that this could be difficult territory for Labour, because they're obviously balancing it out with their sort of net zero pretensions. And they can overrule this judgment. I mean, the first thing to say about the Rosebank oil field is it is the nicest sounding oil field I've ever heard of. You know, like, it's just a Rosebank. You go, well, how could that be bad? How could that do any harm to the planet at all? It's sort of like calling an abattoir summer camp for pigs. Or call it, maybe we should rename like the big environmental catastrophes. Maybe we could call like Chernobyl Pink Sunset. Maybe. But the way that the way that Labour might get around this and not break a manifesto pledge is that they're going to say, we didn't grant any new manifesto, any new licences, right? But this one technically isn't new. And it's sort of like, cross your hands, no quitsies, no returns. Had my fingers crossed, no. And Labour, is essentially, they're going to do the classic middle class thing, isn't it? Which is talk about how important climate change is. Just talk about it for ages and just, you know, watch stuff by Chris Packham and then fly their family to the Maldives. Do you know, just the thing is, I always think when they're like preaching to working class families about climate change, you go, yeah, but we only go Spain. We only go Spain. You lot fucking go Madagascar, do you know what I mean? Peru, Machu fucking Picchu, wherever that is. We only go Spain. I sounded like I was trying to do a Mickey Flanagan routine there. We only go Spain. But, you know, this is the problem now, is that they've said that, you know, if it's good for growth, then it can go ahead. That seems to be their mantra. But they're going to find that a lot of stuff that might be good for growth might not be good, or certainly good to the progressive left. I mean, vape shops outside schools, that would be great for growth. I'm not sure they'd want to seize that nil. And, you know, they were also held to account about GB Energy, because it does seem that it's going to take them a long time to get up to even 1,000 employees, a long time to produce energy, and a long time to produce any discounts, if at all. And the thing with GB Energy was, I said it at the time, is the public will like it because it's got the word GB and energy in, right? It's like you could have called it Dame Maggie Smith Energy or Perfectly Buttered Toast Energy. It's just, it had a good name, but it could become a white elephant. And, you know, I suppose I do think that Labour will actually approve this Rosebank oil field. In the long run, it's going to prove that they're sort of like net zero in the streets, but net whatever we can fucking get in the sheets. Just a quick one on reform, because, you know, they did, they topped the polls for the first time this week. I think the Tories topped a poll as well. They're a bit of a mixed bag of polling this week, but certainly the trend of the reform polling well has continued. And Farage, it's really interesting. Every week, I think PMQs must be an absolute cakewalk for reform. Because generally what happens, right, is Labour are under pressure. They're a stumbling government. They stand up, right? And, well, Kemi Badenoch stands up and says, you're being shit now. And Labour go, you were being shit for 14 years. And reform go, well, we haven't been shit at all yet. You know, there's every chance that once we get the chance, we'll be equally shit. But we don't have any track record of shitness at this point, whereas you two are kind of like, you know, it's sort of like a donkey derby of shitness in front of them. And it's funny because, like, I saw this bit where Farage stood up to ask his question. And I do think that this was choreographed, right? So he knew that if he paused, he would start getting heckled. And he knew that once he gets heckled, that then he could use that as a clip, right? Because what he really wants to sell, I mean, the party's name is Reform, is he wants to sell the idea that we're the outsiders, we're the disruptors, a bit of that sort of Trump-Musk energy. That was a horrible word. Trump-Musk energy. Jesus, that's going to be a fragrance, isn't it? That he's going to sell. Trump-Musk. Hey, do you want to smell like me? Get that Trump-Musk energy. Still working on the impression. But yeah, and the Labour MPs, because they can't help themselves, because they have this sort of sense of moral high ground, they bit several times. And it might have just been that they were saying to him, just ask the question. But he just kept pausing and they kept biting. And the point is that Farage can then clip that up. He can, you know, he can reduce little bits. He can expand little bits and make it look like, oh, they, you know, they just don't like me telling the truth. They don't. See, this is the problem. This is why we need reform. This is why we need reform. What are you going to do, Nigel? We will reform. But what's your policies? Well, it's everything's bad. Yeah, I sort of get that. But yeah, point is, I guess reform don't have to say anything probably for another 4.5 years. Just thought we'd give a little mention here to the SNP as well, who still exist. What has happened to the SNP, right? They were big box office news when Nicola was at the wheel, weren't they? And then the last time I saw her was on ITV. Do you remember that? When she was between Ed Balls and George Osborne. Look, was it I said at the time was that she looked like somebody that was just sobering up as a threesome was about to start. She looked horrified. And it's just a real fall for grace, haven't they, from the SNP? I mean, they've gone from saber rattling about leaving the UK. They've gone from talking about leaving the UK without a deal to having to give a firm yes or no on this issue about banning cats. Now, sorry, I should have said this at the top, but basically, somehow, there was an SNP report responsible cat ownership. Now, whether you want the kind of swinging cuts of Elon Musk's Doge in the US here, you got to be honest that when you hear something like that, you think maybe money is being wasted somewhere. Not all of it, but a bit. A report on responsible cat ownership. And so it built up and built up. And then you know what the online space is like. And, you know, the SNP do have form of doing mad shit in the past, right? You look at who they've allowed into women's prisons, right? Male rapists in women's prisons. It's pretty mad. Censorship laws, pretty mad. So if they did ban having cats, which was what was being suggested, then that would only be like the 15th maddest thing that the SNP have done recently. And John Swinney, who still feels just like this cat, I have to keep telling myself, he is actually the leader of the SNP. I still think he's like this caretaker manager to the end of the season. But I feel for the people of Scotland. You know, they have not one but two governments to let them down. We, you know, in England, yes, we don't have the sort of regional representation, but we don't have what the Scottish have, which is sort of like joint custody where both parents are rampant alcoholics. I just want to do a bit about the week in Trump, because the tariffs thing was at the beginning of the week. So let's just start there. It's just a quick bit on Trump here. But, I mean, let's be honest, none of us really understand the intricacies of tariffs, do we? It's sort of one of those examples of the left thinking Trump's doing it, so it must be bad. I mean, Trump could host the traitors and people on the left would go, well, I don't think this format works. I don't think this format works. But, like, I guess what he's doing is he does hold some aces, right? So he's playing poker like a guy that's holding aces. But in the UK, it's been such a long time since we felt like we were holding any aces. We don't even know what it feels like to play poker that way, if poker at all. Now, there's a mixed sort of reaction as to whether or not Trump's tariff war ended up with him with egg on his face because Trudeau eventually just sort of promised to do some sort of window dressing-y stuff and bring forward stuff. And he cancelled them. Although the 10% tariff on China still remains. And look, maybe he's just into bullying Canada. I don't know. Like, Canada is, I mean, in the world, like, Canada, I suppose it's quite a bullyable country, isn't it? Like, if the countries were all at school together, Canada would be the kid with homemade shoes who does, like, the Dungeons and Dragons Club. Oh, do I have any Canadian listeners? Am I going to lose my only Canadian listener? I suppose the other point about Trump and stuff, and you know, like a lot of this Doge stuff, like with a lot of these cuts, right, and a lot of people hear some of the mad stuff that the US government have been spending money on and they will raise an eyebrow, right? But there's other spending in there. Those are the exceptions maybe that prove the rule, I don't know. But the point is if you didn't have those exceptions, people wouldn't question the rule. But you could cause an serious economic contraction. You know, if you keep cutting spending everywhere, you know, there are salaries in there, there are tributary industries. I just guess I wonder if Trump does cause a recession, whether or not his supporters will accept that was because of his actions. I sense not. I said it's not. Is President Trump just did what needed to be done. If people stop spending money, that's un-American. That is un-American to stop spending money. I think anybody that hasn't spent at least $1,000 on big tires in the last year is an enemy of the state. Yeah, I don't think that they're going to own it. And the thing with the Doge cuts, right, there is an issue. And I get that some of the aid stuff like could have dramatic effects, but they wouldn't have political cover to do this if the United States didn't owe over $36 trillion, right? Their debt to GDP is 123%. So it just paves the way for somebody to come in and go, should we look at stuff that we're spending money on that maybe we shouldn't? And in that, it may be that they cut spending that they should be doing, but they have the political cover to do it because the United States owes a fuckload of money. Okay, that is the end of the show, and I haven't done any reviews for a while, so remember, if you leave a 5-star review on iTunes, I will read it out. I still don't know how to access them on Spotify. So this one is from Rupert Alden. Rupert says, a comforting podcast. I'm a gardener, so I listen to intense political podcasts all day from the UK and the US. Me too, man. I'm not sure it's good for my mental health, Rupert. I just like get up. It's almost like smoking. I sort of reach for quickly, like my mum used to scrabble for her fags on the side there. I reach for my phone and I light up. Jeff's What Most People Think is a really good compliment to that. Yeah, there you go. That's the kind of marketing I need. It is an accompaniment piece. It's a jus. It's a jus that goes with all these podcasts. It gives this light-hearted but deeply knowledgeable. Oh, I think that's the first time anybody's ever used that phrase in association with me, but I'll take it. His deeply knowledgeable take on everything. It's really good comforting show as a result. I prefer his monologues to his guest shows, but everything's good. Well, this week was for you, Rupert. And this one, I can't remember if I've read this out, but this is Antonio Arginio. I mean, I could just do a really stereotypical accent here, and I'm going to do it. Antonio Arginio. I mean, maybe not in the Gino DeCampo week. I really enjoy this podcast. It's refreshing to have a centre-right discussion and view portrayed in this hilarious podcast. It's a great balance to all the lefty-leaning podcasts out there. There you go. You got a balance, right? Listen to the lefty ones, listen to this ones, and listen to Times Radio. See what I did there? Tonight, Friday night in Norcott, 7 till 10 p.m. Look, just Google. If you don't have to have a subscription to listen to it. If you've got a radio, just retune it. If your car radio, retune it. It should come up. And if you can't do any of that, or you want to listen to it on your phone or your tablet or your laptop, just Google, how do I listen to Times Radio? Right, just like you would for other stuff. And do tune in, and I will be back. I'll be back next week with a show. Who's the guest next week? Is it somebody? Who is it? Ian Moore is back on the show next week. So I'm looking forward to that. And I hope you have a cracking weekend.